too busy to pray. I got up early one morning and rushed right into day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time. Take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently, lovingly chided, why, child, you didn't knock? I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day tolled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He answered me, what you didn't seek. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. This author's unknown, but maybe we can relate to the author that we may think we have so many things to do that we forget to start our day with a prayer, which is the most important thing. But God wants us to knock, to seek, to ask, right? So hopefully we can not relate so much with the first part, but the latter part where we can wake up each morning and ask God and to start each day. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, dear Father, thank you for bringing us to church this Sabbath, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. Be with us while we study and review the things that we have been reading and praying in our 40-day devotion. Lord, may you open our hearts and may we be able to set and apply the things that we need. So one of the saddest... One of the saddest things I find, the verse or expression from the Bible, I believe, is I never knew you. I'm sure some of you guys can agree, or maybe you guys find other passages or other verses that you guys think is sadder. But the Bible says that there's going to be a time where God is going to say, I never knew you, to some of us or some of the people. But I'm sure none of us here, because we're all here, some of us on time, some of us a little late, but sitting down in church, present. So maybe we won't be hearing, I never knew you. But the Bible does still say that he's going to say, I never knew you, to some people. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 to 23, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So we see people who have been doing good works, attending church, giving offering, or giving sermons, working in the community center. But there is a risk that God might say, I never knew you. And Desire of Ages, page 357, it says, he who would confess Christ must have Christ abiding in him. He cannot communicate that which he has not received. The disciples might speak fluently on doctrines. They might repeat the words of Christ himself. But unless they possess Christ-like meekness and love, they were not confessing him. So if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, we will be filled with the Spirit. A spirit contrary to the Spirit of Christ, right? Whatever the profession, men may deny Christ by evil speaking, by foolish talking, by words that are untruthful or unkind. They may deny him by shunning life's burdens, by pursuit of sinful pleasure. They may deny him by comfort, conforming to the world, by uncourteous behavior, by the love of their own opinions, by justifying self, by cherishing doubt, barring trouble, and dwelling in darkness. In all these things, they have declared that Christ is not in them. So we're told that if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're going to be filled with the contrary of the Spirit of God, which is going to make us do all of the above mentioned. So we're talking about the 40 days of prayer that we've been reviewing and praying, and I believe many of you have been participating with which is great. And we're going to go back real quick on the things that Dr. Kelly mentioned with the state of Laodicea church. And the question is, why did Jesus call the believers in the Laodicea church lukewarm? They thought they were rich and that they needed nothing, right? Anything else? They were self-sufficient. And maybe we can even summarize it through the verse that we may not use it in that way. But we see Jesus, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So where's Jesus right now? Is he inside of our hearts? No, he's outside. He's knocking. So when the Laodicea church weren't us Christians, who to whomever he supplies, God is outside knocking, and Christ is not the center of our lives. Because if he were, he wouldn't be knocking. He'd be inside, abiding with us, right? And why are we keeping, what are some reasons why we're letting Jesus stand outside the door? And some of the reasons we can say why Jesus is still standing outside is that we don't understand what Christian life is about. So we see the example of Nicodemus. He was in a high position. He was a leader. But yet he did not know. We see in John chapter 3 that he's asking questions and he's not understanding what Jesus is trying to say. And another one is the cost of discipleship is too high. The example that we can think of is the young rich man that came. And he came with a good heart, but what Jesus asked was too high. So I don't know which reason we can identify ourselves, but for those reasons, we might be letting Jesus still stand outside. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses life for my sake will find it." So, we may think we are doing a lot of things for Christ. We may be busy doing good works. We are, I'm sure a lot of you are doing your own personal ministry, talking to people, sharing, helping in the community, the church, being active. But sometimes when those, as we saw earlier, the people who were prophesying, Jesus told them, I never knew you. It's not about what we know, all the doctrines, the things that Nicodemus knew, all the things that he kept, all the things that we may know. It's not everything if we have Jesus standing outside of the door. We may be doing things, but we may be neglecting our relationship with Christ, which is the most important part. And we'll review real quick of the thing, a parable we all know very well. The parable of 10 virgins. We know that all 10 were virgins, and that means that we all of them had pure biblical beliefs, correct? And all of them had lamps, meaning all of them had the Bible. And how many went to go meet the bridegroom? All of them, right? All of them went to meet the bridegroom, which represents that we are they're all looking forward to the second coming. And then all of them went to sleep. It wasn't only the 5 foolish virgins that went to sleep. All of them went to sleep. And all of them heard the call and woke up. And all prepared their lamps. And all the lamps were burning at this point. We see that. But what was the problem? Half of them noticed that their lamps were going out. We know that they had Holy Spirit because their lamps were burning. But Holy Spirit, as we were studying the 40 days of prayer, we know that it is a daily thing, correct? It's not just one-time thing, then losing it goes out. So they didn't have enough, and that's the only difference. And that the only difference of not having enough Holy Spirit, they had to hear, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you." The saddest thing would be all of us thinking that we're doing the good works, we're coming to church, we're giving offering, we are helping the poor, we're helping the homeless, eating right, not drinking, doing the good things, but if we don't have the Holy Spirit, or not enough Holy Spirit that we're asking, God, there might be a time that we're told, or surely I say unto you, I do not know you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So if we do not have the Spirit of God, does God claim us? It's a very quiet day, but yes, he does not. And Ellen G. White explains a little bit on what we should do. And it says, we must have a living connection with God. We must be clothed with power from on high by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we may reach a higher standard. For there is help for us in no other way. And Penny mentioned the verse that it's kind of, it's one of the main passages that we're going to look. And it says, put on the whole armor of God. Who puts on the armor? What profession puts on the armor? Soldiers, warriors, right? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done to all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet in the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying how long? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I'm sure all of you guys who are participating read this part. What does praying in Spirit mean? We're not just praying just for the things that we want, right? Praying in Spirit was praying according to Spirit and what Spirit tells us to pray for. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we are called to be prayer warriors. We're told to put on the whole armor of God. And we're told to pray in Spirit. And one of the examples that we're just going to just highlight, a couple of the things that were mentioned during the week. Example of Jesus and the disciples. Jesus, there's so many verses in the Bible where we see Jesus' example of praying. This is one of them. Luke 5:16 says, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He often withdrew and prayed. Not seldom, often. See? Luke 6:12, we see, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And the lesson also mentioned that Jesus did not pray deeply when he was doing the big things. Why? Because he had been in communion with God. He had been praying all his time, preparing. He's not procrastinating and cramming at one point, just saying, oh God, just give me help. Father God, help me, and then doing. He had been in communion with God. And that's why he was able to say, I am one in Father. The next one, Mark 1:35, and we see the example of him praying in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. prayed. Was it only Jesus who prayed in the Bible? No one else? No, we see the disciples also following the examples, correct? In Acts chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Acts 2:42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer." And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there. Acts 16:13. Another one. "Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." So we see the disciples praying and praying night and day on Sabbath, as custom. So, the things that we should remember as a prayer warrior is praying like Jesus early in the morning and preparing ourselves before, not just right before we're doing something big. I don't know how many of you guys you guys can count how many minutes you guys pray. And while I was praying, I was looking at some things. It's a little outdated, but there was an average person, an American, prays 5 minutes a day, which I thought, that's quite a bit. That's more than I expected. If I just count the prayers that I do before I eat, "Father, thank you for the food that I'm about to eat. Bless the food that may nourish our body." Those are seconds, right? But I'm sure all of us here, we're now participating in the 40 days of prayer, praying more, praying for our five people. And we can communicate, because relationship, praying is talking to God, correct? And how many of you guys can say you guys talk to or pray without saying thank you or requesting things? Because most of our prayers are, "Thank you, God, for all the things that you've given us. And God, please, let me do this, 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 this." Right? And that's not how our relationship grows. We have congratulations on the 50th. If the relationship was just asking for favors, "Can you do this for me? Can you do this for me?" And "Thank you. Yeah, thank you for that. Well, can you do this for me?" Would the relationship have lasted 50 years? Probably not. It's spending time with Christ. Because if we don't spend time with Christ, we don't know, and God's going to tell us, "I do not know you." So that's something we can take from that Jesus example. And united prayer in the Spirit. The lesson also mentioned that united prayer in the Spirit is not just coming together in the same place and praying for different things. I'm praying for a different car, and the other person is praying for a new job. It was praying in the same place, if possible, for the same desire and want in spirit, right? And another important thing that we should take out is in the power in number. This is a draft horse. And they say a single draft horse can pull a load of 8,000 pounds when it's pulling the load itself. So if you do the math, 8,000, if you have two horses, you should have 16,000, correct? But two draft horses pulling together cannot pull twice as much as one. They can actually pull three times as much. The two draft horses that can each pull 8,000 alone can pull 24,000 pounds working together. It's interesting how the math works like that, how one can pull 8,000, but you add, it doesn't go 8 plus 8 is 16, but no, it goes to 24. And Jesus, in the Bible, God speaks to us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. "Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And threefold cord is not quickly broken." Matthew 18:19-20. And it says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Is this a promise we can claim? Yes, it is a promise. And we should be claiming these promises that are written in the Bible. And the last one in this verse says, 1 John 5:14-15. It says, "Now this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." So the Bible is giving us confidence and the promise that if we are united in prayer, there's more than one of us praying, God is with us and he will be answering whatever we ask. And the warriors, if you guys are soldiers, you guys are fighting, if you lose something bad happens to you, do you give up and surrender? Right, you don't. Soldiers are supposed to be tough, persevering. So as prayer warriors that we are supposed to be called, we're supposed to persevere. And Luke chapter 18, verse 1 and 7 here, Jesus mentions, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And this is verse 7, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?" God can answer your prayers quickly, but he also wants us to pray always and persevere in our prayers. Ellen G. White, in her early writings, says, "I asked the angel why there was no more faith and power in Israel. He said, 'He let go of the arm of the Lord too soon. Press your petitions to the throne and hold on by strong faith. The promises are sure. Believe ye receive the things ye ask for, and ye shall have them.' I was then appointed to Elijah. He was subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. His faith endured the trial. 7 times he prayed before the Lord, and at last the cloud was seen." Many times we get discouraged. I can say that for myself. I'm not sure. Maybe your faith is a lot more stronger, so yes, don't get discouraged easily. But when I pray, when my prayer request does not seem to be answered quickly, my prayer is being heard. Is God listening to me? But in the story, Elijah prayed how many times before? Maybe we have prayers that we've been praying more than 7. But he prayed and he didn't get discouraged. And other quotes say Elijah was praying humbling himself if there was anything, the mistakes that he had done, to make himself right with the Lord. Because he prayed, the rain didn't come. And then now he's told the king that the rain's going to come, but then the rain's not coming. So he's praying, and he's sending the servant, "Go and see." For 6 times, there was. But he didn't give up, and he persevered. So what are the things that we mentioned so far as a prayer warrior? What are the things that we should remember? Never give up. Oh, the last one, yes. Pray without ceasing, right? Similar. Yes. Start your day with prayer. Yes, we're following Jesus' example. What else? Pray together in unity, right, and in spirit. For us, if you want to be different from, or to be different, or to accept the advice that God is telling us, not to be like the Laodicea church who think who are lukewarm, and we're making Jesus stand outside of the door, we should invite him in. And Jesus should be the center of our lives. We shouldn't have him wait all the time outside for whatever reason, because we might think that we know the truth. As Adventists, that's one of the problems we might have. We have the truth of the Sabbath. We know the health message. We know the state of the dead. The things that we know do not save us. It's who we know. And do we know Jesus? Are we sure? Do we have the relationship with Christ? Do we spend enough time and listen to God as well? Because communication is not only just me talking, God listening. So, Jesus is still knocking at the door. And if it is your desire today to stop making Jesus wait outside and let him in, for whatever different reason we might have, the things that we think we are sinners, or all the other impediments or obstacles that God has, or Satan is working hard to put in our lives, but if you like to invite him in once again today, because this is a daily thing, and because Jesus is knocking, he's not far away, he's not far in a neighbor's house, he's at your door knocking, and he's wanting you to open. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in him and dine with him, and he with me. So, if it is your desire today to open the door and let Jesus in to your heart and put him first, may we stand so we can sing Into My Heart, and we'll close in prayer.
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Out of my heart, out of my heart, shine out of my heart, Lord Jesus. Shine out today, shine out always, shine out of my heart, Lord Jesus.
Lord, Heavenly Father, we have come here, and Lord, we are deciding to stop making you wait outside the door. Lord, we want to open the door and let you come into our hearts. Lord, please help us to put you first, that so that we can have our lives centered around you. Lord, we don't want to hear at the end of times when we think we did everything right and you tell us that you don't know us, Lord. Help us to have the relationship that you want us to have with you. May we get to know you better each day and get closer to you, Lord. Lord, we pray for Holy Spirit and a revival in our hearts. Not just in our hearts, and may this revival be individual in our church so others can see the difference in us, that we want to be and we are trying to be more like you, Lord. Forgive us our sins that we put excuses. May we not calculate the cost of the discipleship of following you, but may we just let you in. Lord, We don't deserve all the things that you give us, but we only ask for your love and continuing guidance. We thank you and love you. Just in my prayer.